Thank you, Carol. Appreciate that. Take your Bibles now. Let's go to Book of Exodus, chapter 20. We'll look at another one of the Ten Commandments as we're preaching through those. Today we will go to verse 13. Just four words there, but mighty powerful words. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. May I just say as we begin this message that human life is sacred to Almighty God. Human life is sacred to God. God is the eternal sovereign, and He is over all of human life, and only one has the right to determine when that life is taken from that person, and that's God. Only God is the one who is the sovereign in control of it. Now look at this verse. You're familiar with it. Thou shalt not kill. Some of you are saying right now, well, let's close our Bibles, go home. Never killed anybody. Don't plan to kill anybody. So let's just go home. No, there's more to it than that. We're going to talk about it. Thou shalt not kill. In the Old Testament, there is a principle that God gave before the Decalogue was ever given. Now, I'll not take the time to remind you of the difference in the Mosaic Law and what was required of them and so on and so forth, but let me just say that in the New Testament, all of the Old Testament laws are basically amplified. They become more acute even in the New Testament. You'll see that in this particular commandment also. But in the Old Testament, we have the principle where Noah is given this principle by God in Genesis 9:5, and he says, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require. The blood of the life of a human being will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of a man." In other words, that's capital punishment. If somebody, in a premeditated way, takes the life of another person, it is called murder. Genesis 9:6, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood," listen to it, "by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." That's God's word, folks. And God has never rescinded that commandment. God has never changed that principle. It has never been changed in the Word of God. Now, killing and murder can be different. Killing and murder can be two different things. The Bible recognizes the difference in those two things. Certain killings are one thing, others are another thing. There are allowances in the Bible for the accidental death of a person. When someone did not premeditatedly try to go and take that life, and yet they were negligent, it might be called negligent homicide today. Where do they get those ideas? Our law, they used to get them from the Bible. They've gotten away from that, but they got them from the Bible. And so there was that recognition of that. In a time of war, there's a recognition that those who are servants of the state are not murdering somebody when they're fighting in a war. And that's very clear and very clearly taught in the Word of God. This commandment was given to the individual, not to a nation, but to the individual. And of course, it applies to capital punishment, as the Bible tells us. But God gives us these varieties that involve death as we would know it. In fact, we don't have time to develop it, but going back, and you've studied it before, in the Old Testament, there were cities of refuge. And those cities of refuge were set up for people to go into, to be protected for a certain period of time, maybe a year's period of time, so that nobody could touch them and nobody could kill them, and it would protect them until they investigated and found out if it was done premeditatedly or if it was an accidental case or whatever it may be. Even God recognized that in the Old Testament and set up what we know as the cities of refuge. Now, as I said, and I think it's so important for us to realize this, that this is given to the individual, not just to a nation. Not a nation as such. And let's go back to develop that, because there's some people who think that they should be conscientious objectors. I lived in an area of the country one time where there was a certain religious sect in that country, in Virginia, who believed that they should not go to war and fight in war because they said the Bible says thou shalt not kill. Well, God differentiates in those things. And this commandment, as far as the military doing their job, acting on behalf of the nation, not as an individual who is premeditatedly trying to go murder somebody, that is something that is acceptable in the Word of God. In fact, there were times God does not change. There were times, you studied in the Old Testament, where God said to certain ones, the Israelites, you go down there, just like going into the land of Canaan, and destroy the Amorites. Destroy the other Hittites and the other Ites. Get rid of them. And God said, you do that because it's the right thing to do, and you're acting in a military fashion as a nation, as soldiers of that nation. Therefore, in that case, it is not wrong. Suppose you're a deputy sheriff or a sheriff or a policeman. Suppose you are a person that is involved in that kind of thing. And in the line of duty to protect someone else or even to protect your own self, you have to fire and shoot and kill them. Is that what we would call murder? Premeditated murder? Absolutely not. The Bible teaches that those who serve in law enforcement are agents of the state. Read it in Romans chapter 8. Read it, because Paul deals with it and says that they're acting as agents of the state or of the nation, and they are not committing murder, premeditated murder in the sense that we would think of it, and that has been done in the line of duty. Military people, police officers, and other people like that. And I do believe, by the way, if you're going to live in a free country and fly the flag and enjoy the pleasures and the freedoms, that you ought to be willing to fight for that country and that country's freedoms. If not, move to another country. Just get out of here and go somewhere else. Now, another area that is killing is abortion. Now, I don't know if you know the Bible well enough to understand, but it doesn't make any difference if it's in the first trimester, second or third, or if it's in the womb. Because the Bible is very clear. And the Bible says, as the psalmist said, I was created by God in my mother's womb. Every genetical factor about you was there in that embryo stage, and I don't like to refer to them, although I know we do it medically, as a fetus, but my friend, that is a person that is in the womb. And God clearly tells us that that is a person. So when you choose to take the life of a little baby in a womb, you say, well, but what about this and what about that? Very low percentage where the mother's life is in danger. Very, very low percentage. And if God chooses that, that's God's choice. I've had to deal with people who have come to me and said, what should I do? The doctor tells me, because of these fancy little pictures they've got, that I should abort my baby. And I said, don't do it. You let God handle that. You let God take care of that. By the way, I can show you some of the most healthy, big, robust people on planet Earth right now that the doctor told them to kill them. But they said no. They listened to the Word of God. God took care of it and the baby was born. You say, what about those that are that have difficulties physically or emotionally or mentally, and they make those decisions prematurely sometimes. Listen, that may be God's way of using you in a way that you've never dreamed of. If God allows one of those precious little children to come into your family, let me tell you, He has a purpose. All things work together for good. And this idea of selective genetics, I mean, we already have two perfect examples of perfect genetics, Brother Rigsby and myself. They don't need to go any further. That's on the man's side. This idea of selective genetics is a bunch of baloney. God is the one who determines the color of your eyes and whether you're going to be the brightest one on the block or maybe not. Let God handle all that. God is the sovereign in charge of that. I'm glad to give you this report. If any of you women, you young women, or anybody out there has had an abortion, though it was wrong, terribly wrong, if you'll put it under the blood of Jesus Christ, He'll wash it all away. Amen. That's just like any other sin. It's not right. And I'd warn you not to do it. And I would say that like any other sin, there are consequences. You can't get around some of those consequences. There may be nights you wake up having a nightmare and wishing you hadn't done it. There's some of the consequences, and there are a lot of things involved in that. But I can tell you that taking the life of a little baby is a form of killing. And as far as I can tell in the Word of God, it falls into the category of premeditated murder. Because you make the choice, you choose to do that. I don't think any kind of health program ought to in any way fund abortions. I don't want my tax money going for the funding of abortions. Amen. If I have anything to do with it, they'll overthrow that bunch of baloney mess they've got up there that they've put in, the new health measures that does include funding abortions. That's wrong, and no wonder God judges our nation. What about suicide, preacher? Isn't suicide the unpardonable sin? Absolutely not. Some of you have been taught that all your life. Suicide is not the unpardonable sin. Is it a sin? Yes. Is it wrong? Yes. Is it taking a life? Well, you figure it out. You know, if you take your own life, you've taken a life. Amen? Suicide is wrong. The Bible does not say that a person who takes their own life is going to hell. Now, generally speaking, a Christian probably would not do that, but we do have a case in the Bible where that was done by a great king of the Israelite nation, and God said that he would be in heaven. Again, I wish I had time to develop all that, but I really don't. But it's there in the Word of God. Suicide is wrong. Suicide is a sin. And you will lose some rewards for it. And it will have a horrible impact on those that love you and those that care for you. And I've been through that with more families than I wanted to. It is the single most selfish thing a person can do. It is the single most selfish thing looking at self that any human being can do, is to take their own life. And sometimes they may go off of their rocker or whatever, but my friend, it doesn't excuse doing that. And God, thank God, He gives us precedence in the Bible to know that that is not the unpardonable sin. Let me tell you what the unpardonable sin is. Dying, finally rejecting Jesus Christ. Now, if a person takes their own life and they've never been saved, they'll die and go to hell. It's just a fact. Nobody's glad about it. Nobody's happy over it. But that is a reality. That is a fact. And so it is a terrible thing, but it's not the unpardonable sin. The New Testament enlarges on this. As I said, it amplifies and makes this thing much more sensitive, if we could put it that way. And in the New Testament, when it's talking about murder, it says, just like adultery, which we'll talk about that later on, that it can happen right here, the heart and the mind. You say, well, I'd never shoot somebody. I'd never take a knife and stab them to death. I'd never do that. Well, Matthew 5:21 talks about an attitude of the mind and the heart that can be equal to that. And so, by the way, this is probably, if you have a red letter edition, it's in red. That means Brother Weaver's not the one that said it. It means God said it. Jesus said it. And here's what he said. He said, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. And that had to do not only maybe with end time deal, but it had to do with the Sanhedrin coming, and they, if they did that, then they would stone them to death, or in some cases some other type of punishment. But in Matthew 5:22 he says, but I, Jesus, say unto you. Now watch this. This is strong. This cuts it as close as you can cut it. It's God's word. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. Now I can hear someone say, well, I always have a cause. You better watch it. It better be a Bible thing. And most of the time, I want to tell you, it is not. Most of the time, it is not. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, that is a term of looking down on somebody, and it's like using the word fool, and that's what he's saying here, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of what? Hell fire. That's strong, isn't it? God says you better watch the attitude of your heart. Is there anybody you're angry at today? Anybody in this church? Anybody anywhere? Anybody that you would really like to get even with? You'd just like to see bad things happen to them. In fact, you're in such disagreement with them, you might not mind even if God took them. And some Baptists I've known might help God out if they could. This is strong, folks. And what is he talking about? Raca, thou fool! Looking down and disdain upon somebody. Vile words, that's what they are. Do you know that vile words manifest a heart attitude? Vile words manifest a hatred in the heart. And that being born in your heart, my friend, can lead to the attitude of such hatred that you wish people were dead. And sometimes, by the way, that's where it always starts. And it continues and continues and continues until finally somebody is killed because of it. And that's where it starts. It starts with that attitude in the heart. If they don't have that in their heart, they're probably not going to do this kind of thing, because it starts with an attitude in the heart. Listen to this again. 1 John 3:15. Whosoever. We like that word, don't we? What does that mean? Anybody, right? Whosoever will may come. Anybody wants to get saved can get saved. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You believe the Bible? Say amen if you do. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means what it says. We take it literally, don't we? So, well, I don't like that. That's just too strong. Well, take it up with God. 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. It's not the characteristic of a born-again, God-loving, saved Christian to have this attitude in your heart. So if it starts getting in there and creeping in there, you better get rid of it right away. Because God says that just doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up. There's something else that sort of falls into this category that God warns us about. It may not be the actual thing, but it's right close to it and can lead to it. And that is something called character assassination. There are many people who wouldn't take out a gun and shoot somebody, but they run their mouth. And they criticize. They talk about people. They run them down. It happens in churches. Character assassination. We don't need that. You let God handle that. God can handle that. Go to Him in prayer. Let Him take care of it. Vengeance is not yours, God says. It is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You see, we might repay when it wasn't due, but He never repays unless it's due. And we need to be very careful about character assassination. I also want to say this, that everybody in this building has killed somebody. You say, no, I haven't. Yes, you have. Everybody in this building has killed somebody. Number one, if you've broken one part of the law, you've broken all of it. And that pretty well takes us all in. But I want you to go with me in your mind just a moment and look at the cross. And see a man, a God man, named Jesus, suffering. Who put him on that cross? Oh, you say the Jews did. Well, they had a part of it. Well, you say the Romans did. Well, they had a part of it. But everybody in this building had a part of it. We're all guilty. We all are guilty. Our sins. The old songwriter said, where's the hammer that nailed the nails? I'm afraid, my friend, it's in your hand. It's in my hand. We've all been guilty of it. But aren't you glad Jesus Christ will forgive us? He'll come into your heart, wash those sins away, all of them. We're all guilty. We've all violated the law. Doesn't give us a right to practice the law. And once we get saved, we ought to live by the law and let it be our guideline in the New Testament principles, because with all of those, there are consequences. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and His shed blood in you and I. Put Him on the cross. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Dear friend, if you're here without Christ and you've never been born again, you're guilty of having broken all the law, including that. Though you may not have entered into it actually, we're all guilty. You need to come and be saved today. If you've never been saved, step out and come and be saved. If you've had something in your life that God has spoke to you about, maybe you've had an abortion or something, listen, dear friend, God will forgive you. Bring it to Him. You don't have to feel guilty about it when you get it washed in the blood of the Lamb. Bring that to Him, whatever it may be. If you've hated somebody in the past, if you've had guilt and guilt feelings because you're in the military, in the line of duty, you had to do what you had to do, which can be so horrible and difficult. Understand how God looks at it, my dear friend. And come to the Lord and let Him take care of it. If you have, listen to me carefully, if you have anger in your heart towards somebody in this building this morning, and you've been saying something about them, you need to come to the altar today and ask God to forgive you for character assassination and make that right in His sight today. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for the commandments. Help us to weigh out all of these things. May the Spirit of God call to our hearts and minds these principles and deal with us accordingly. I pray, O God, that if there's somebody here without Christ, somebody who's lost, may they realize, like all of us, they're guilty of having crucified Him. But the purpose was that they might be forgiven. Thank You that all of our sins can be forgiven under the blood of Christ, washed by His precious, precious blood. May You speak to our hearts. May we do what is right today. May You be glorified because of it. In Jesus' name.